Good morning, racers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. This is your host, Tiggy. This feels like the shortest doubleheader ever, sandwiched in between basically two summer breaks, but we have officially reached the official summer break and therefore silly season. For those less familiar, silly season is typically where we get contract announcements, things start to happen, we get a better sense of what's going to happen next year in terms of driver movements. We've already seen some of that, which we'll get to, but it's also where teams officially shut down their factories for a mandated period of, I believe, 14 consecutive days. So they have to avoid most operations related to the car. I think it's a much deserved break for everybody involved in this circus. So it's going to be fun to see what the drivers get up to. And then we'll come back strong into the back half of the season. In this episode, obviously a Hungarian Grand Prix recap, I'll be talking about Max's decision to stay at Red Bull for 2026, the ever thrilling Lando and Oscar battle, Lewis Hamilton's comments about being useless and the mentality at Ferrari, as well as Aston Martin's return to form and much, much more. I am wearing my new Ferrari shirt from Studio Emilia. For those of you watching on YouTube, you can see this, but I'm wearing it in solidarity for Lewis and Charles, just given the weekend that they both had. And a little bit of a life update. I think this is the last time you will see this background if you're watching on YouTube, as it's my last week in LA. My internship ends on Friday, and then I am off on my own summer break. I'll be going to France for about a month and a half, where of course the podcast will continue, but new background and new setting. So we'll see how that goes. But let's dive right into the big news of Max Verstappen putting an end to the rumors that he will be leaving Red Bull. He seemed quite annoyed about the rumors going around, but at the same time, it was very much in his control to announce that he would be staying at Red Bull. As a reminder, he does have a contract through 2028 at the team, but after the Christian Horner news and many rumblings, it seemed like Max maybe would be leaving for Mercedes, for Aston Martin. There were a lot of rumors swirling around. There was a lot of concern around what would happen with George. And it seems like we have put an end to those rumors, as Max did say that he will be staying at Red Bull for 2026. Now, when the Christian Horner news dropped, and I said this, I think, last episode and in previous episodes, I really thought that Max was going to be leaving and that he had already made that decision. But the longer we got away from the Christian Horner news, the more skeptical it seemed that he would actually make a move. And so I guess it's not surprising that he is sticking with Red Bull, just given the change of regulations next year, spend a year at the team, see what happens with the engine, their power unit, and how well Red Bull does in terms of a car. Can they get a really good second driver in behind Max and sort of rebuild the team? I respect Max's loyalty on that front, I have to say. So I think it's a good move and we'll see what happens. And I think it would have been crazy to see Max in any other color other than dark blue at Red Bull for the time being. So I think it's a smart move. And honestly, if the car is horrible in the first couple races, a driver of Max's caliber has the flexibility probably to do a mid-season swap if he so chooses. So I think all the possibilities are still out there on the table, but I think it's good to see that Max has decided to stick with where he is. He also made some comments this weekend that he won't win another race this season. So unfortunately, this weekend was not great for him. And so maybe that's an indication that the car is just in a really horrible spot and maybe will be for the rest of the season. But at the same time, you never can count out Max Verstappen. So if I had to guess, I would say that Max will win another race this season, or at least a sprint. We'll see what happens. He did win a sprint last weekend, so he's not that far away from victory. But yeah, let me know what you think about the Max staying at Red Bull news and what we think might be to come. I think the big open question now is, when do we get George's contract renewal announcement at Mercedes, which seems inevitable to me? And then two, who is the second driver at Red Bull? It does not seem like it will be Yuki Tsunoda, just given the performance we've seen, but you never know. So let's dive into the race weekend, a quick in case you missed it. So quali, the track conditions really changed a lot throughout this session. In Q1, we had out Yuki, Pierre, Esteban Ocon, Nico Hülkenberg, and Alex Albon coming P20, which is his worst qualifying by far, especially given that his teammate Sainz qualified eighth. So really not a great weekend and a weekend to forget for him and for Williams. In Q2, the rain started to come down a little bit more here. It seemed like the first ones to put a lap in, were going to get lucky and just get that time in. And the stragglers in the back maybe would have had a tougher time as the conditions changed, but the grip actually didn't decrease much. So people were still setting faster times throughout the session. And out, unfortunately, we had Kimi Antonelli, Ollie Berman, Lewis Hamilton, Carlos Sainz, and Franco Colapinto. And I think Hamilton and Bortoleto were separated by like the tiniest, tiniest margin. It was like 15 thousandths or something. But that was really unfortunate for Hamilton. And we'll talk about his comments after quali. But Q3, the track temperature cooled a bit. So McLaren maybe didn't have the advantage that they typically do with a hot track temperature because they're able to really cool their tires down well. So we had a Charles pole and he sounded so surprised. He was like, really? We got the classic Mamma Mia reaction from him on the radio. Piastri was also surprised, who came in second. He said he certainly didn't expect to come second to a Ferrari. So really great for Charles and Ferrari and in what was a roller coaster weekend for the Ferrari team. One of the other highlights of quali was Aston Martin. They were looking fast all weekend, even in practice, and especially for Stroll, it seemed like their strategy during quali was just to get out, be in clean air, get out ahead of everybody, and just like put in good lap times. And that's what they seemed to do and did really well. So they both made it into Q3 and qualified pretty well. It was the closest top 10 qualifying in F1 history. It's just so cool to see how these cars are so close to each other. I think it was a little over half a second separating Charles in P1 and Isaac in P10. So really cool to see and amazing how thin the margins are in this sport. But Isaac, speaking of, he is still the only driver to have reached Q3 every single race. So kind of a goated moment for him in quali, and hopefully he'll be able to continue to show those results during the race. But at least it was good on the quali front for him. And then we had the very tragic Lewis comments after quali when he was interviewed. He was probably the most downbeat we've seen him in a very long time. We know that this season has been a little bit of a tough ride for him. He doesn't seem to be able to figure out the car. He's had some tension over the radio with his race engineers and just like having a not the best time and doesn't seem to be able to figure it out. And he made these comments saying that he is useless. Clearly the car is good enough to be on pole because Charles got pole. And so maybe Ferrari should be looking for another driver. Like, it was really defeatist for someone who is typically so positive and upbeat. And if he's not, he won't say as much maybe. And yes, he's hard on himself, but Lewis is Mr. like, believe in yourself, get back up when you've been kicked down. And so to hear him talk like that was really sad. And I liked all the memes kind of going around, not even memes, just like pictures going around, motivational things being like, Lewis, you've helped me through some of my darkest moments. So you're far from useless. Please remember who you are. And I don't know. I really hate to see that from him. And I hope that he can take a little bit of a reset in this summer break and hopefully come back stronger and see what happens in 2026. But the vibes are not it right now. For the race, it was a little bit of a slow burn of a race, I will say. It's not an easy track to pass on. They call it Monaco without walls, which makes a lot of sense. I think the race was saved by two incredibly competitive McLaren drivers and their divergent strategies, and also some standout showings from those in the midfield, which we'll talk about. But for the race, everyone in the top sort of 10 to 12 started on mediums, and the call was always between a one-stop versus a two-stop. The one-stop was always on the table, but it wasn't clear if that was going to be possible. At the start, Leclerc did manage to keep the lead, and he even stayed ahead of Oscar through the first round of pit stops. I think it was Leclerc, Piastri, and George who pitted early off of the mediums onto hards, and Lando was the one who made the gamble to stay out on hards. But it did come down to this one versus two stops with Lando against the other front runners. The mediums had done over 30 laps for him, so hards were able to last to the end. It seemed like it was a little bit of a gamble, but just given how far the mediums lasted, it seemed in a 70 lap race that the hards could do 40. Dirty air also played a bigger role in this race, and just the nature of the track being the Monaco without walls, it did feel true to some degree, and getting caught in dirty air, there's not much you can do. It was Charles's race to lose on pole, but when you're battling two McLarens and you don't have a teammate up there to help, I think it's pretty tough. And unfortunately, Lewis had qualified pretty far back, and Charles was just incredibly frustrated for most of the race. And he had these cryptic radio messages about how the things they talked about at the beginning of the race, they changed it without talking to him. And if they just listened to him, he would be able to manage the issues. And they're going to lose this race if they don't talk about things. And it was like kind of cryptic while also being sort of obvious about what was going on. Although it seemed in his comments at the end of the race that it wasn't actually a setup change on the car that was controllable. It seemed like they had a problem with the chassis, which is where he lost a lot of pace. But I digress. The Brian Botzi, Charles Leclerc radios just are the gift that keep on giving. And then that was around the time that Lando made the call to stay out on hards. Lando's race engineer came on and said, you know, we think we can try a one stop. Do you want to do that? And Lando was sort of like indifferent. He was like, why not? But long story short, that paid off as he sort of ticked off the front runners. He did have one minor trip into the gravel. And that's when Lando's race engineer came on and told him not to make mistakes like that, which was crazy. The announcers were like, whoa, if my race engineer had told me that, I would have lost my mind. And they were like, if David Coulthard heard that, we would literally have to mute his mic because he would be losing it. And they were talking about, which I thought was interesting, how Lando and his race engineer seemed to have more of like a coaching or mentorship relationship. Whereas for most of these drivers, we just hear them say like, leave me to it. Please don't tell me anything. And I'm just going to, you know, do my race and come on when you need to tell me what strat mode to change to, essentially. But Lando, we didn't hear a response from him, if he did have a response, but he seemed to just like take it in stride and then not make any more mistakes. McLaren also, when it did come time for pit stops, they had 2 1.9-second pit stops, which is crazy. Anytime you get a sub-2 pit stop in Formula One, it's chef's kiss. And Ferrari was also fast as well. I think Charles had a 2-second pit stop flat. So good on the pit crews this weekend. And sort of in the back half of the race, it all just became about Oscar Piastri and whether or not he would be able to catch Lando. He was able to catch him and was behind by less than a second for so many laps at the end there, but just couldn't get by. He did try one major move into a corner, but he was just a little bit too far back and locked up, and that was it. And he didn't really have any more opportunities to pass. So Lando won by 0.6 seconds. They actually came on, I don't know if I heard them right, but I think they said this. They said that his heart rate was at 180 BPM, which is insane. That is so high for someone who's like so fit. Lando and these drivers probably have a resting heart rate of like 30 something or 40 something, you know? So to be at 180, it shows you how crazy flat out these drivers are going. And he actually, Lando in his post-race interview had lost his voice kind of. You could just tell how much he was pushing. And after that one mistake through the gravel, Lando did not put a foot wrong. So incredible, incredible job. It was the 200th Grand Prix win for McLaren in their team's history. The first fourth consecutive 1-2 for the team since Senna and Prost for McLaren in, I think, the 80s, maybe 88. So I love how these stats just kind of come out of thin air, but what a fun thing to celebrate. George came P3, which was a welcome return for Mercedes. And also they got double points, luckily, with Kimi climbing back to P10 into the points. And then Charles, unfortunately, finished off the podium in P4. He had fallen way back at that point, I guess, just due to these chassis issues that he was talking about after the race. He also did get a 5-second penalty for driving erratically, which George was unhappy about, saying he was moving under braking. George still managed to pass him, but he did not like the way that Charles was defending and driving. But Charles' quotes, I mean, these Ferrari drivers, these poor, poor people. He was like, I don't take any positives from this weekend, after he literally got pole on Saturday. But he's like, when we end the weekend like that, I don't take any positives. And he was like, when we have one opportunity in a year to win a race, we need to take it. And today we didn't. And so I guess the question is, do we think they only have one opportunity to win a race? Monaco was close for Charles again. I don't know. We'll see how they come back after the break. I think Ferrari has it in them to win a race. All it takes is Lando and Oscar taking each other out for someone else to have a chance. And, you know, there are definitely tracks where the McLaren car isn't favored as well. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's a little bit of defeatist talk from Charles. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
And then after P4 for Charles, we had some excitement. We had Alonso P5, Gabby Bortoletto P6, which is his best result in Formula One in his career, Lance Stroll P7, so Aston Martin managing to sort of hang on to that great qualifying momentum, and then Liam Lawson P8 finishing ahead of Max Verstappen in P9. Someone in our Discord asked if Max even raced this weekend, which I thought was funny, but also kind of cruel. But yeah, really great showing from some of the rookies and then also the Aston Martins. Lando, some funny moments at the end there. Lando signed the bottle of champagne saying, "Don't break the trophy," which was a flashback to 2023, if you all remember, when he broke Max's Hungarian Grand Prix trophy. And these are these beautiful, hand-painted, like handcrafted trophies. They take, I don't know how many hours to put together, but they're just absolutely works of art. And so it was really funny to watch him move his trophy and move Oscar's trophy before the champagne celebration, like behind everything. It's just hilarious, like safety first moment. And then in the cool down room, I have to say, I really appreciate George Russell in these situations because he just cuts any tension. I mean, it was just Oscar in there for a second, then Lando comes in, then George comes in, and he's just chatting and laughing at the screen. He's like, "Why didn't you just T-bone him, Oscar, when you locked up at the corner on your move?" And I think there were a couple poor Charles moments in there that they were talking about. But yeah, I just appreciate George like being funny even when he's not trying to. He was kind of the perfect antidote to that cool down room, and I loved to see it. And then last sort of highlight from the race was, we always do a radio of the week. This week it was, "I don't care about Leclerc. I just want the best chance to beat Lando," which was from Oscar. And I kind of loved the dichotomy between Charles's radios, where he was like trying to be all cryptic about the things that we don't talk about, and you know, "This is why you need to listen to me for these things," and just being very vague. And then Oscar gets on the radio and he's just like, "I want to beat Lando. I don't care about Charles Leclerc. I don't care about anything else. Just give me the best chance to beat Lando," which I kind of appreciate the directness. So good for Oscar. There was a question, or I've been seeing around people talking about how McLaren kind of screwed Oscar on the strategy. Did they do that on purpose and give Lando an advantage? I definitely don't think they did it on purpose, but it is very cool in my mind to see the two different sides of the garage working both like with and against each other. Lando just had a better strategy. Maybe Lando wouldn't have made that gamble if he didn't see the front runners pit early and, you know, and have that opportunity. So I don't think it was malicious on McLaren's part. I don't think it was intentional. I just think, you know, Oscar was probably focused on covering off Charles at the beginning and so felt the need to pit. And then Lando was able to just stay out. I don't think it was intentional by them at all. For my MVP of the race, I mean, you got to give it to Lando. I think people were asking after Spa whether he would bounce back. And I think this was a definitive answer. He, again, made that one trip into the gravel where he was scolded by his race engineer, but to not get fazed by a challenging start, pull off a one-stopper, hold off your teammate for several laps with DRS at a 180 BPM heart rate and his voice gone in the post-race interview is just crazy. And I love that he was able to kind of thrive under pressure, because I think a lot of the criticism of Lando is just that he can't handle the pressure. He makes these mistakes and, you know, we actually saw Oscar make the lockup mistake trying to make that move. So it's good to see that both of these drivers are human, but both of them have the ability to sort of turn on and just lock in when there's a ton of pressure. And it was great to see Lando do that. And I'm here for the fight. I like that we're in single digit differential between, you know, points territory for the drivers' championship. And I think it's great. The other MVP I have to hand it to is Gabriel Bortoleto. I got a question from one of you on Instagram, I think from Paula, asking Gabby for Red Bull ? Which I love that every rookie who does well, people are like, put him in the second Red Bull seat. They've said it about Isaac. They've said it about Liam. They've said it about Gabby. They've said it, I'm sure, about Ollie Berman and Kimi Antonelli, even though Kimi is in a pretty good car himself. But I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know. We'll see. Gabriel Bortoleto is having a sort of renaissance this season in the past several races and just doing really well. So I'm not against it, but I'm also like, just let these guys develop a little more, see what happens. Gabby for Red Bull? I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. My LVP of the weekend is just the vibes at Ferrari. Such a major downer. I feel really bad for Charles, for Lewis. The team just seems like such a tough environment to be in, to work in, to thrive in. I actually am most curious about the relationship between Charles and Lewis right now. Like, do they just sit around and talk about woe is me and this car is horrible and strategy is awful? Who are these race engineers? What are we doing? Or I don't know, like, how has this affected their friendship? I know they've been really, really good friends in the past and quite close. Like, I'm just kind of curious what the vibe is between Charles and Lewis at the moment. For Lewis, it just really is tough to see this. And I really am scared that he's going to retire on like a low note. And it just seems unlike Lewis to do that. But I don't know, making comments about how they should just sign another driver is really worrisome to me. Is there a world that where he goes back to Mercedes? Like, I don't see that as a possibility, but I don't know. I feel bad for him. He's been teasing this August 8th drop of something, and everyone, because there's like a match striking in the video, everyone is joking about how it's the burning down of Maranello on the 8th, which is crazy to me. Obviously, it's not that, but I'm like, what could it be? Maybe it's a fragrance, or maybe it's a new Almave flavor, like one with mezcal, given the smoke theme. I don't know. Who knows? But let's get into the standings, why don't we, before we wrap up. Oscar Piastri, 284. Norris, 275. So again, 9 points separate them. Max Verstappen, 187. George Russell, 172. Leclerc, 151. Hamilton, 109. Antonelli, 64. Albon, 54. Hülkenberg, 37. And Ocon, 27. But notably, Alonso and Stroll are currently tied in the Drivers' Championship in 11 and 12. So they're moving up the grid with these with this race result. For the teams, we have McLaren 559, Ferrari 260, Mercedes 236, Red Bull 194, Williams 70, Aston Martin 52, Kick Sauber 51, Racing Bulls 45, Haas 35, and Alpine still 20. Well, that was the Hungarian Grand Prix. Not the most exciting race of all time, but it was a nice lead-in into the break after this doubleheader Spa to Hungary. And then, yeah, we have a couple weeks off and then we'll be back at it. I will definitely have some episodes for you all during the off-season summer break, so stay tuned for those and can't wait for racing to return.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.